Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
More Brown schedule reaction coming up in inside the hour. Also, the lead coming up. We've got Joe Vardon coming up at 5:20. So plenty to get to on the show as we balance the schedule game, as it's known, and the fallout from the Cavs being gentlemanly swept again. That happened by the Knicks 2 years ago. Then last year it was the Magic, or the Magic, the Celtics, and then this year, of course, it was the Juggernaut Pacers, as they're known. And to talk about how the Cavs move forward from here, why this happened, and so much more. Our next guest had a front row seat for it, just like you and I. He was covering the series as part of the NBA on TNT, also NBA TV as well. Jared Greenberg joins us now in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jared, welcome to the show.
Fellas, you guys doing okay?
Everybody?
It's not great right now.
I'm not as mad as I was 2 days ago. There is progress.
Yeah, okay. And how many games are the Browns going to play this year? Did they announce how many?
They'll play 17. Gotcha. How they'll win, that's probably more of a sensitive question than how the Cavs doing.
Jared, I got called a homer for saying six wins. So that's where we're at right now.
Because he was being a homer.
Yeah.
Homer, wow.
Yeah, six wins. That's all it takes.
Can I just start off with something? I promised Keith, your programming manager, I would bring this up. I don't know why you guys need people like me to call up. I heard one of your callers on a show while I was in Cleveland the other day discuss his strategy for what the Cavaliers should be doing based on how he plays on 2K.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering why we're not just doing that full time.
We did have a caller before game five say they just got to pound the rock, and it never went beyond that.
Well, then they started pounding the rock in the first half, and I was like, maybe that guy was right.
That worked. He wasn't wrong. Yeah. He wasn't wrong.
Well, I think the problem is, much like that guy, they never had a plan after pounding the rock.
Oh.
So I think maybe they just listened to him. They're like, all right. And then when the pounding the rock stopped working, right, they were like, damn it, he didn't say anything else on the call.
Right.
Why did the Cavs lose that series in five games?
Well, number one, you're not going to appreciate this. I heard a little sarcasm in your voice at the beginning of this segment here. I think the Indiana Pacers are better than people want to give them credit for. I think what probably stings a little bit, I would imagine, for you people in Cleveland, is that you don't view them having the prototypical roster for what should be a team that has now gotten to back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals, right? They don't have that massive superstar that you fear is going to score 30 points a game on you every night. Their best player was essentially taken out offensively by your defense, and he still found ways to manipulate the game and beat you, including taking your heart in a buzzer beater and then throwing the knockout punch with his best offensive game in game five. What Tyrese Halliburton did with the focus of the Cavaliers defense, you need to give him credit for how he played and how he just absolutely ate up the Cavaliers, despite the fact that they made it their priority that he wouldn't be able to score 25 or 30 points a game. That's number one. Number two, not to make it an excuse, but the injuries played a role. I think the counter argument to that is, well, Cleveland prided itself on its depth and how good, how well-rounded and how balanced this roster was all year. You should have been able to overcome it. And then I think number three, which may be the most important thing to give you hope moving forward, is that this is still a relatively young and inexperienced group as a collective. And I think if we've learned anything from history in the NBA, is that it takes time to build. Now, I'm not trying to justify or validate your concerns and your disappointment, but I think if you keep this group together and you play the long game like a team like Milwaukee did a couple of years ago that resulted in a championship, like Denver did that resulted in a championship, you're going to see the fruits of your labor. This stuff does not happen overnight.
So it sounds like you're advocating for them to just run the course, do it at least another season.
Yeah, listen, do they need to make some tweaks and changes? Sure. But guys, the jump that Evan Mobley made from last year to this year, it was ginormous. And I don't think there's a person in that watches basketball casually or on a night in, night out basis that thinks that Evan Mobley is a finished product, right? Like there's going to be improvement in this team in areas, and particularly in the experience area. Like that's really freaking important in the NBA. You don't just win a championship randomly. And I think that that ultimately, like teams that have these knee-jerk reactions and just take a little bit of disappointment, blow things up, take longer to get back to where they currently are than trying to win a championship by playing the long game. I think, yes, there needs to be some tweaks around the edges. There needs to be some things that are done. But ultimately, I like where they're at. And particularly, like, look at the landscape now, the Eastern Conference. And again, like I did the story the other day about Donovan Mitchell. Like you can never take for granted where you're at. And he says, and he talks about, you know, getting over that hump of the second round, which he's never done, is only a step in his ultimate goal of winning a championship, right? Like for Donovan Mitchell, the biggest thing for him is winning a championship. And in order to do that, you have to get out of the second round. You say, oh, we'll be back there automatically next year. And I agree. There's nothing that guarantees that the Cavs are going to be the one seed. There's nothing that guarantees that they're going to even get to the second round next year. But I'll say this. You look at the Eastern Conference. Now, a lot's going to be said this summer with some of these massive trades that we know are going to be made with some of these draft picks and any other things that happen in free agency. But you look at the Celtics with their salary cap issues and the Jason Tatum injury, and you look at some of the other things that are happening around the Eastern Conference, like there is a path right now for the Cleveland Cavaliers to be a dominant team for the next several years. That's regular season success. Now you've got to hope they take that leap with that experience and translate that into postseason success.
Jared Greenberg, TNT, NBA TV on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. The word toughness has been thrown around a lot with this Cavs team. Do you agree the Cavs lack toughness? And can we even define what toughness they lack?
No, I'm glad you say that. Like I've heard it so much the last 2 weeks that I've spent in Cleveland, and quite frankly, I'm a little annoyed by it. And I'd be annoyed by it if I was on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like people just say it as a throwaway line at this point that the Cavs are not tough. What does that mean? What area are they not tough enough? You know, you talk about like the rebounding category. They were kicking the Pacers' butt through the first three games of that series, right? Sometimes you're just not good enough, or sometimes the other team's better than you. And I think that there's probably 10 different ways that the Cavaliers would say that they needed to be better. Like, did Evan Mobley need to be more assertive? Did he need to be more demanding of the basketball? Yes, absolutely. Is that toughness? I don't think that's toughness. I think, again, that's experience. It's a young guy who's never been in this position before with the expectations of competing for an NBA championship, not knowing how to adjust to what defenses are doing at this point, right? Like, I just think it's a new experience. To throw away toughness, and here's the thing about it, too, that really bothers me if I'm a member of the Cavaliers. It's like you're using the same terminology and labels that you've used for the last 5 years on this team when it's a different group year in and year out. And you're just, like, using these lazy terms instead of really looking at defining what cost the Cavaliers this series.
So in trying to define what cost the Cavs a series, you know, we've gotten a lot of calls on Atkinson. I think it's more about execution than it is on anything with coaching. I think injuries also play into this as well. Like in trying to figure that out and identify it, how much should fall on Atkinson's plate versus just not executing, not hitting shots and everything else?
Yeah, I mean, you can't have it both ways with Kenny, right? You can't say that he was the coach of the year. You can't say that he changed the culture. You can't say he did all these things. Now, all of a sudden, you have a disappointing run. Like, the way that team collapsed at the end of game two, you're a professional basketball player making millions, sometimes tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, to play this game. If you need a coach to tell you not to throw the ball to the other team with 12 seconds to go, you know what I mean? Like, the mental mistakes that were made, I just don't know what this level of basketball, the amount of success that this team has had over the course of 82 games, you look at that, habits are built in the regular season that are supposed to translate to the postseason. I just don't know, you look at some of those mistakes at the end of game two, right? This series was lost in game two, right, guys? Like, let's acknowledge that. It's totally different if it's 1-1 going to Indiana versus down 2-0. And I just think if you look at the last 5 minutes of that game, when you're blowing a 20-point lead, the things that happen there, if you want to lay that at the feet of Kenny Atkinson, well, then you've lost sight of all the other good things that he did to get you guys to 64 wins.
Jared, what is the Cavs' window of contention with Donovan as, like, your best player?
Before I answer that, I need to see what the rest of the landscape of the Eastern Conference looks like. Like I said, we're in store here for a wild offseason in the NBA, as we typically are. You know, obviously everybody's talking about Giannis, where he may or may not end up, but I think that's just the tipping point. I think there's going to be 3, 4, maybe 5 massive trades that happen this summer in the NBA that are going to totally tilt the landscape, and change how we view teams and their window. But I would say this, I'll go back to my original point with you guys. Like, the Denver Nuggets, and Michael Malone has said this on the record multiple times, prior to them winning their championship in 2023, there was numerous times where he felt like there was a really good chance he was going to get fired for one reason or another. And the fact that they stuck with it is what ultimately led to them winning a title. Now, they won a title and then decided to dismantle their coaching staff and their front office for one reason or another. But I think Cavs fans would take a title right now. You sign up for a title in the next 3-4 years, you know, you'd obviously sign up for that if that was a possibility. And I just think that there's something towards chemistry, cohesion, and patience that ultimately pays off in this league, more than having a knee-jerk reaction and saying, oh, crap, you know, we've got to go address X, Y, and Z. Like, I don't know that there's so many needs on this team. Like, I think the biggest need for this team is experience, and they're going to have to lick their wounds. And this summer's motivation for them hopefully is enough to take them over the top from your standpoint next season.
What surprised you the most in being around this team over the 2-week stretch that you were, where you got really close and intimate with them?
What surprised me the most? I think they genuinely like each other. I think that Donovan has grown massively from my time covering him with Utah. I think he's a much more mature player and person, as you would expect anybody in their 20s to be, you know, especially, you know, with that type of success and fame and the amount of money that they're making. Like, it's just sometimes hard to hold that in check. But I think Donovan Mitchell feels like a star that, particularly with the way he approached the game this year, has his head on right. And you know, if I were a fan of the Cavaliers, I'd be really proud to have him as my best player. And I think that, you know, the step that he took this year with the sacrifice, like, if Donovan Mitchell would have played like he did in Utah this season, and the Cavs won 64 games, he would be right up there with Jokic and SGA in the MVP conversation. But he was so far in the periphery this year, and yet the team benefited from it, and he seemed to be 100% okay with it. And I think that's really impressive.
All right, Jared. The NBA playoffs do still go on from here, even though they're dead to us. we've got Minnesota and Indy. They've already advanced. New York and OKC hold 3-2 series leads. If it ends up being Minnesota, Indy, New York and OKC. Who is your how do you rank those four potential contenders?
I'm still going to stick with OKC. I just, you know, they're a lot like you guys in Cleveland. You know, young team that has been put together, I think, you know, some would say the right way. And I think that they pride themselves on their defense. And they're hoping, you know, this Oklahoma City team is hoping to do what Cleveland couldn't do, right? Like, relatively young, probably exceeded expectations. And they're trying to get past the second round as a group for the first time. But I think that they are the deepest team. I think they are the best team. And I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of the five best players in the NBA right now, and certainly looks like he's the front runner to win MVP this year, you know, according to many. So I would pick them as the remaining four teams as the favorite.
Are we too quick to write off a Celtics comeback? They looked really good last night.
No, not at all. Like, I didn't record this anywhere, so I can't prove it to you, but I had the Celtics winning last night, and I think this thing's far from over. I think the Knicks are going to play incredibly tight tomorrow night. I think that Madison Square Garden is going to be like there's going to be so many nerves in that building tomorrow night, especially with the amount of stupid money people are shelling out for tickets for that. Like what are people what are people doing right now that they're spending $800 to sit in the last row of an NBA playoff game? I mean, good. It's helping our economy. But, you know, listen, Jason Tatum, I'll say this. One of my favorite players to watch in the NBA, one of the nicest guys in the NBA, too, feel awful for him. And they are certainly better with Jason Tatum. I'm not trying to mince words on that. But I think that we are miscalculating and not fully understanding how good this team has been for the last couple of years and how deep they are. Jaylen Brown was the Eastern Conference Finals and NBA Finals MVP. Derek White was a pivotal piece on Team USA's gold medal winning team. He, you know, set a Boston Celtics record this year for threes made. The fact that you can get a performance like that from Luke Kornet last night, and we've not seen a single thing from Kristaps Porzingis yet. Al Horford's been good, but nothing great. Like, there's still more that this Celtics team has, and I'm not saying that they're better off without Jason Tatum. I'm just saying they're better than they have shown in these last few games. Like, when you blow 20-point leads in multiple games, I think it shows a couple of things. Like, number one, you have massive issues that you're able to blow these leads, but if you're able to get up that much, then you should be able to win a game, right? So I think that they've shown that they are good enough, and I would not be stunned if this thing goes seven, and I certainly will not be stunned if Boston, who earned the right to have a game seven on their court, closes it out on Monday night with a win.
Jared, great stuff, not just today, but all series long. We appreciate you, and we're not just saying that because you're on the air. I kiss everybody's ass, but I mean it doubly when it's with you. And no, seriously, thank you so much, and great stuff all series long.
Thank you, guys. It's been awesome. I know people, you know, poo-poo on Cleveland a lot, but I got to tell you, man, I've really enjoyed spending as much time as I did in Cleveland the last couple weeks. It's been a lot of fun. Went to my favorite hotel restaurant in the NBA at Betts at the Kimpton. You guys know?
Oh,
you guys
yeah, familiar? I like Betts. Yeah.
You got to check it out. It's fantastic. So I had a great time there. And it's been fun. Hopefully we get back there real soon next season.
I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Much. I'll ask you, do you agree with him?
No, I think you need to move Jared Allen is what I've said. And so I if they run it back, I think it'll be because Kobe Altman did the same thing last year and he doesn't want to shake it up. Now with the second apron, everything becomes tougher. You know, like, I mean, it's not as if I have some great solution for what you get back in return. It's been three postseasons now with Jared Allen. I think you need to open it up for Evan Mobley. And if there's an odd man out to shake it up a little bit, it seems like that's Jared to me.
Listen, I think everything should be on the table. I think bringing the team back as constituted should be on the table. And that includes with Ty Jerome. When I say everything, I mean, you have to have every iteration of every conversation. I don't know that was the case last year. Last year it was, all right, what about Donovan? And meaning like, where's the contractual situation going? And then can we get value for Darius, who I think was the odd man out last year, right?
Yeah, and I don't even know if that was honestly from them more than it was with the reports. It was from Darius' side more than it was from their side.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they had gotten a home run offer for Darius, I don't think Darius
but there was obviously no home run offer that was coming there.
Now, this year, I wonder if it's different. I mean, I know Darius, the stats don't look great in the Indy game. The two games he was healthy in the Miami game, it looked pretty darn good, looked pretty darn explosive.
Yeah, but I still worry about the idea that, again, he was injured in the postseason, and he's just been injured an awful ton. I don't know that you're going to get the most value for Darius that I guess maybe a lot of Cavs fans would expect or think.
But when I say every conversation, I think there's a conversation that none of us want to have that we absolutely should be having, which is tied to, is the Donovan part of this window closed? Meaning, is the part of this window where you have a chance to win a championship with Donovan as your best player, is that closed? And if the answer is you think maybe closer to a yes than a no, and you don't think the Evan window is open yet, and it might not be open next year, then I think there's some conversations you can have after that.
I mean, I think the big bet you got to make is that next year is the start of the Evan window for calling it between which is the best player on the team. Yeah. I think that's how the window is differentiated. Then I think next year's got to be that. Because, yeah, Nick, where else are you? If you run it back, where else are you getting some big jump to make it a much better postseason?
If you're the Cavs, can you? Because here's the thing. I think we all put it on like a jump. I think there's multiple jumps from here. Like I think we saw Evan with a ball in his hand and facilitate offense. When I say facilitate, I mean get the ball at the top of the key, look for a pass, and then, you know, charge inside. I think we saw that as much as I think we've seen it ever in the playoffs. I mean, he really did a good job. Now, it didn't lead to dominant performances, but like, I guess my thing is, if you think Evan is two steps away as opposed to one step away, there is a conversation about Donovan and Donovan's value and whether or not that is a conversation you want to open up.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any sort of addition in getting rid of Donovan that would make me feel happy.
I mean, I was
one of the first ones to knock him for what happened in Game 5. The very best Donovan play, in his opinion, was just banging his body into people and drawing a foul. That's how he ended up with 21 free throws when the Pacers as a team had 22. Like, there are things you can get on Donovan with, but I just don't see how you get better without Donovan.
To me, because he's 29, and he'll be 29, I want to say, in like 100 days or something like that. Because he's 29 and because he also has had health issues the last 2 years, like he's been worn down, I think you just have to ask, like, all right, are our timelines all in alignment there? And again, like, I think it's damn near impossible to find something that makes you better by getting rid of him. So I'm not saying they should. I think you have to have this conversation, though. So I have two things I wanted to pose to you.
Okay.
As opposed to that god-awful Jrue Holiday
and
thing
so
earlier.
We got to set the parameters here. And I don't know. I can collectively say, before seeing any of the trades, I will either love both of them or I will be not in love with both of them. Okay.
So what's interesting about this is every time because I pitched this to Phelps, I pitched this to Keith earlier.
Okay.
A couple other folks that I'm just not remembering.
Let me just tell you what I know
did.
About you with trades, okay?
Yeah.
Typically, it goes in favor of the Cavs. Typically. So does this trade work for both sides? Is it a fair trade for both?
Yes.
Okay. So all if right. we're playing with those parameters, and I'm going to have a very open mind here. So I'm going to try not to. I want to root for these trade ideas. Okay?
It doesn't sound like you do. It sounds like you want to set up with you don't like my trade.
I think it's set up with the idea that I'm just going to poo-poo it. I'm just going to say thumbs down. No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm entering. Well, I mean, this is coming from the guy that had Darius Garland as a better player than Tyrese Haliburton before the series started.
I think
so
there's still time for that to bear
I think
out.
Our NBA rankings are sometimes a little off between the two of us. So I'm leaving my mind
emphasizing
open.
Us, meaning me.
But yeah, there's only two of us here. Yeah. Unless Mac wants to get in the rankings, but he's technically in a different room right now.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, right. Between us, what do we got?
First trade, Darius for Tyler Hero straight up.
And okay, so the money works, everything works.
Yes. Yeah, you actually, I don't know if you get fully under the second apron, but you do save a little bit of money.
Is Miami doing, I'm trying to figure out why Miami's doing this.
Because
are they doing this the idea?
They turn around and use the rest of their assets to get another.
Okay, I was
going to
say, do they then get Ja? Do they then go get, is that the idea?
I don't think they would get Darius and Ja, but maybe you get Zion, or maybe you take a bigger swing at Giannis. Like this would be part one of it. The reason why they do this is you get arguably the better playmaker, maybe the better scorer at a reduced cost, so then you can use the rest of your assets to chase bigger fish.
And it's just a straight up one for one?
One for one.
Okay, I like it.
Okay. Now, they might also have to throw in Jaquez, but I
that might actually even be a deal breaker for them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. He scored 9 points again.
They like Jaime.
They did until they didn't. All right. So
still
you
do.
So you would do this?
Yes, I would. Yeah. Okay. I think Tyler Hero is a better basketball player in many respects.
So the reason why
I like the freshness of this all, by the way.
To realize, one, he is a secondary creator. Two, he is a really good 3-point shooter. So some of the things that you're losing with Darius, you still have with Tyler. And then he's not undersized. Like, he is a 6'5", he's a traditionally sized shooting guard, so it's not going to be as easy just to attack the backcourt the same way, even though Tyler's not maybe necessarily a dominant defender himself. So the other one is Donovan.
They could use Darius, by the way, in part of trading for Ja, and then going Ja and Adebayo would probably make the most sense.
Jadabio is what we
call Adebayo. How about that?
Man, I just really drove the show into the side of a embankment there, going full John Denver here on a Thursday.
I like how my response is, how about that?
Hot damn. There ain't no beating this.
The second trade.
How about that?
Now that we've amused me enough to continue.
It's like our guy that said, oh, Jesus, with Dustin Hopkins earlier. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Dustin Hopkins still in the roster. I guess they are a 3-win team, Nick. Donovan for Hero, Jaquez, where in 3 firsts?
No.
Wow, that was a very specific type of no.
Well, it was it's Donovan and Evan Mobley are the two untouchables to me in this.
I think Evan's the only untouchable moving forward. That doesn't mean you have to touch Donovan right now.
Easy now.
But we saw the Skims ad. Well done, Donovan. Good for you.
Enjoy the bulge.
However, you don't have to touch Donovan right now. But, I mean, he is 29, he is undersized, and there are injury issues there.
I don't think you're a better team with that setup.
Not immediately, but it does give you the freedom back going forward. Where's prominence allows you the backup center, slash he can also play alongside Evan, because they're both guys who can shoot the 3-pointer. And that might also free you up to then maybe also turn around and trade Jared if you really want to go excessive this offseason.
Look at you, back with the NBA trade machine. And these weren't
I thought these up, and then I put them through the trade machine.
Yeah, the trade machine that does not account for the second apron, by the way.
And this one, this one actually does. This one gets you completely below the NBA, the ESPN one doesn't.
Doesn't.
Trade NBA does.
Trade NBA does,
okay. So this one gets you fair below the...
In learning more and more about the second apron, by the way, I did learn that it is fluid, which is something I didn't know when we first started talking about this a couple days ago.
The apron?
The apron's fluid. So
how can an apron be fluid?
If you go under it, then all of a sudden you're not over the second apron, and you're not restricted by some of the limitations that everyone keeps talking about. So like in one swift move, one Isaac Okoro move, you can all of a sudden be, under the second apron and not restricted by some of the penalties.
Yeah, but who's going to take Isaac Okoro on?
No, that's a problem. I know.
Man, that felt really personal for Mac. Mac, we're just trying to have a real Okoro conversation here. 216-474-0092, because he's not good.
Getting Okoro with it.
But then, thankfully, we got him for another 2 years, I believe.
I was
Darius
wrong.
Darius for Tyler Hero, or Donovan for Hero, Jaquez, Khalil Ware, and 3 first. Which trade do you dislike? Which or do you say yes to one, yes to neither, or you can't say both yes to both? But you get what I'm saying there. Do you like both of them? And is the Cavs title window with Donovan closed? That feels like there was a pretty emphatic statement on where the Cavs are with Donovan in this Indiana series, and the NFL doesn't realize its biggest schedule weakness yet. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Man. So with that, I'm going to espouse to you what I think is the NFL's biggest schedule weakness.
Okay, what do we got?
And we're seeing again this year, the Browns start their season with the Bengals, and then they end their season with the Bengals. And I think the Week 18 rivalry games have become the biggest failure and the biggest weakness on the schedule.
Well, they just don't matter at that point.
Like more than 50% of the time, they don't matter.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like if the division is supposed to be the end all be all, I kind of think it should be delivered in the middle of the season, not at the beginning of the season where teams aren't quite finalized yet, and not at the end of the season where, you know, anywhere from 5 to 8 teams are out of the playoffs by the time the, well, actually more than that, 8 to 10 teams are out of the playoffs or on the verge of out of the playoffs in that moment.
So you want it like stacked in the middle?
Yeah. Somewhere in the, anywhere from week 5 to week 14.
I don't know. I don't know that I love the idea of it being like designated times. You know what I mean? Like listen, it works for Ohio State and Michigan and it works for the game, but the NFL isn't that, you know, I feel like, I like the variety. I like the idea that, yeah, I know Zach Taylor is an absolute dodo bird and runs the ball in the first 4 weeks of the season instead of passing it. Like, if that gives us an advantage in taking on the Bengals, I don't hate that.
Well, but I think the point of scheduling the games at the beginning and end of the season, at least with one chief rival, is the idea that, well, okay, that last game is going to mean something. If more than 50% of those games don't mean a damn thing, or if both teams are playoff teams and they decide to rest the,
but that's just a week 18 problem, though.
No, I think it's indicative of the point of like a bad Browns team. Beating the Bengals in the first, like that game should have more meaning than, well, Zach can't coach early in the season.
I think I know why they do it, though. I think they do it because if you are playing, you know, on a rotational basis with all these teams, you take on every team once every so many years. And so let's say you're a Chargers fan living in Cleveland and you take on the Chargers once every few years and that's a week 18 game, then you do get robbed of that. And like, I know you'll say, well, I don't care. Well, I just want the best games.
It's not that I care. I think it's more that I just want to, I want to put the bulk of the, that all of the rivalry games when they actually matter, when the teams are, when all teams still have some semblance of hope or fight.
I get what you're saying, but like, I need to take the Browns out of this for a second. Let's pretend we're the Chiefs and we're doing this in Kansas City. If the only time that Patrick Mahomes gets to play Caleb Williams, let's say, is once every 4 years, and then that once every 4 years is because the schedule makers decided not to make it divisional matchups, it ended up being week 18. Well, it's just like a big missed opportunity between not only seeing two great quarterbacks play against each other, but everyone in between.
Yeah. I just think if the point is divisional,
I'm just trying to see their side of it is all.
I don't even know. I just don't think they've acknowledged what a waste Week 18's become.
Well, and I think that's the heart of this conversation, is that Week 18 just stinks at this point, and there's not really, it's gotten to be so bad that any way we do this, you're going to end up in a situation where you're probably not pleased.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I know there's an NFL lottery push. Schefter. For what it's worth, Adam Schefter has gotten behind the idea that an NFL draft lottery would be gangbusters.
I thought this was your guy Greenberg that started this.
Jared?
No, Mike.
Oh, well, talk about another guy who just...
I like that you went to Jared because we just had him on.
Jared is my guy. Jared's much more my guy than Mike Greenberg's
my guy.
That's
the point. When I say my guy, I mean it in a very sarcastic way.
Oh, okay. I didn't pick up on your sarcasm.
Not since a Schefter Nagasaki bomb. Have you?
I didn't like the way I said that.
Have you been really down on Mike? You know, you're just not a fan is the point.
No, I just think the point is those two weasels saying that means that there's somebody with real power in the NFL behind the idea of an NFL draft lottery. And I get really annoyed.
What was the NFL draft lottery? Can you spell it out for people?
What do you mean?
Like, what was the context behind it? I never actually saw the clip.
Schefter and Greenberg both said they think it would work and something that the NFL would consider. So not like they're going to do it, but when they float that, like, Adam Schefter tends to be one of the big thought balloon guys out there of like, hey, will you tweet this just to see how it's reacted to? And I think...
You mean like just taking the NBA setup is what you're saying?
Not one for one, but having something similar and then the NFL spin on it. But yeah, an NFL draft lottery.
Where you just don't immediately get rewarded for being the worst team in the
Correct.
League.
Correct. And okay. The idea is to curb tanking, which it actually has worked in the NBA. I mean, the Wizards, the Jazz... They got hammered for it this year. Even the Hornets, it's supposed to be like a 3-guy race at the top, and they got the 4th draft pick, which is very similar to like the Evan Mobley draft with Mobley, Edwards, and LaMelo. I'm thinking that right. No, sorry.
No,
Wiseman.
He was the LaMelo Jalen one in there.
And Anthony Edwards. That's what that... But the point is, if you want to try and go anti-tanking, I don't hate it. I do think you're messing with the competitive balance in the NFL, which is already as fine-tuned as you can get it. And I worry that you could kick this in the favor of certain franchises and really punish teams just with crappy owners. Y'all can think of one or two if you want. The Jets. That's all I was going to say. But I understand that. But I just think if you're going to only address one side of the equation and not teams resting players or not being incentivized to play their players in Week 18, I think you're dealing with half the problem, not the whole problem.
I think you got to find a way to incentivize, I think is the right key there. And I don't know if that is incentivizing the teams at the bottom or at the top, but you got to find a way to make it. Listen, when they moved away from the playoff setup to what it is now, where you only have one bye, I do think that made a lot of teams just grouped up through 2-7. And it did make that top just feel a little less like, oh, we can rest our guys.
All right. I think people are going to hate this.
Okay.
What if you offer a second bye and you move to 8 playoff teams on either side? So half the NFL will make the playoffs.
It's a lot. It's a lot of teams making the playoffs. And listen, they would love this. They'd love it because it's another game that they could sell, and you'd have more teams in, which is more interest. Like all these leagues want as many teams as they possibly can get. You saw this with Rob Manfred. Manfred was pushing for way more teams than are currently in baseball's postseason. He got added on teams, and it made him a lot more money, but he's always pushed for more. Like, they want as many as they can get away with. It's just at what point then you do devalue the regular season as a whole. Like, if half the league is making the postseason, why are we watching the first 18 weeks?
Because I still think it's going to matter, and there's going to be still teams in the middle of the NFL fighting for it and fighting for the positioning.
I just think the more and more you get into that territory, the more and more the less and less the regular season actually does matter. This is the give and take, though. This is the poll. Like, if you want Week 18 to matter, you have to find some answer here.
It's funny because every time somebody's like, when you go to 7 playoff teams, the regular season won't matter as much. I have not seen that happen at all. The only thing that I've seen is the devaluation, but only getting one bye, which has changed how teams operate in Week 18. But, like, I have not seen one person watch 1 second less of football.
Not watch 1 second less.
Because they have 7 playoff teams.
We're obsessed with it. I think you could throw 14 teams in the playoffs, we'd still probably watch just as much football.
Isn't that how much they have now?
No. I meant, like, on one conference, 14 teams, like one side.
That's being a jack weasel. I'm sorry.
But the point, now I lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. I was just being a troll to be a troll.
We're very used to it here. It's okay. Now, I was being a troll just to be a troll. Wait, well, hold on. Why is it? He looks that way. Like, that was a hurtful thing to say.
No, hold on. No, you're right. Me and Mac don't have feelings, nor does Anthony. 216-474-0092. Do you like the beginning and end of the season schedule with rivalry games? I think it's becoming a massive weakness with how Week 18 just doesn't matter for almost half the damn league, sometimes even more. The Lead, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.